The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. Hey, sorry about the slight audio discrepancy this week, but hey, we're here. Let's go. Hey, we talk about a bunch of stuff in the news this week, and we also get into the debate on whether Marvel should just go away because other movies can't flourish. Huh, wonder how we come down on that one. And we actually have some interesting books to talk about this week, too, so let's get into the store. Hey, John, how we doing?
Oh, time will tell, DJ. Time will tell.
Oh, you had to use that word time, didn't you?
Yep.
It's been another rough evening. We've got the tweet ready to go, technical difficulties, but we're powering on here.
We are. We're soldiering through it.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, leading off, 2 months away from Disney Plus.
Yes.
Very excited. 2 months.
We're 1 day closer than when we started this thing.
That is completely accurate. Yeah. What do we got for Disney Plus news? Do you have anything in your notes? As you can tell, this is very late. We're jumping right into this.
The only thing I have is I just saw an update where a bunch of the animated Marvel classic cartoons are going to be available at launch date. Including the 90s X-Men, the Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, Incredible Hulk, Fantastic Four. And it's about six other ones. But as I'm looking at the disclaimer that they posted on Twitter, it says this may vary based on which country you're in. So this might not be...
I'm pretty sure we'll get all that depending
on... Well, maybe, maybe not. Because a lot of times things are available...
Have we banned the X-Men in the United States yet?
Well, but a lot of times things will be available, say, on Netflix and other markets, but won't be in ours. It's all going to depend on licensing, if any of these cartoons are licensed somewhere else already. But in any case, we'll get
I'm pretty sure we'll get the bulk of it.
Even if we don't get all of them. Yeah, we'll get a bulk of it. So that's pretty cool. It's just more, you know, more content that's going
to
be
That's one of the things that I've been looking forward to since they talked about Disney Plus and watching DC Universe and seeing all of like the Super Friends and all the animated features and cartoons that are on there.
Right.
I've been looking forward to that, you know, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. But that X-Men series, I never got into that. That was well past our time. So,
yeah. I mean, I've seen some of it, but I didn't get into it like, you know, every episode. And but I do want to go back into it now.
I would love to. I mean, I'd probably do an episode or two a day and just power right through. That would having it all,
right.
Having that access on Disney Plus will be great. All right. What else we got?
Well, I've got, several stories, actually. So the first one is, it looks like they've revealed the timeline for the Black Widow movie. I don't know if you got a chance to see that post or not, but looks like it's going to take place between Civil War and Avengers Infinity War. So that
yes.
2 year time period between those two movies.
That had
been
speculated for a while. And then,
right. Yeah. And now, like I said, now that's confirmed. And I'm sure it'll actually go back. Like, it'll go back in time from there because we'll retroactively see her origin story, I imagine.
Right.
But it does kind of bring into question the fact of whether we'll see, like, a present day live, alive and kicking Black Widow because it's not going to address anything, I guess, that happened in Endgame. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. Spoiler. She's dead.
Yeah, well. Spoiler, if you're one of the, you know, eight people in the world that hasn't seen that movie yet, you're listening to our show.
I have a buddy on my hockey team. Actually, he took the pictures of the gauntlet.
Right.
TJ. And he still hasn't listened to our podcast, and he's like, he keeps saying, he goes, I want to listen to it, but he won't because he still hasn't seen Endgame yet.
Oh, geez.
And he goes, I'm sure that every episode has a spoiler. Every episode of our podcast has a spoiler in it. I go,
it's fairly accurate.
Yeah, not probably every, not every yeah. episode, but I wouldn't risk it.
but a good two thirds of them.
I said, I'm like, how about you just watch the movie? It's three
exactly.
hours. It's been
right.
It's been 4 months, I think.
Yeah. it's now available on you know, streaming and. Most video on demand services. So
the guy that runs my hockey team, he comes in the room one day and he just looks across the room and he yells at me. He's like, "You are such an effing nerd." And I was like, "What?
Get the force out of here."
Yeah. Oh yeah. I got that today too. I heard that. Yeah. I was like, I had no idea where he was going with it. And I had my sweatshirt on and I looked down and I was like, Oh, you listened? He goes, yeah, you're pretty good.
Oh, good deal.
I was like, oh, thanks. He was just busting me.
I love the validation.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Looks like Falcon and Winter Soldier getting ready to film.
Yep.
They said, in Atlanta. So. I guess what that comes out next fall, right?
Yes.
I think it's 2020, fall of 2020. So that's good. That'll be fun. What about the Hawkeye news?
Yeah. Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah.
Not 100% done deal yet, but I'm all for that. I liked her a lot in Bumblebee.
I thought today it was.
Oh, I mean, last I heard it was. You know, strong possibility, but I don't know if it's been confirmed by Disney or her yet. But you know, these things, once they get to that stage,
I thought I did see that
fairly,
You
know, fairly accurate. So yeah, I think that's great. I like her. You know, I've only ever really seen her in Bumblebee.
She
did the voice of Gwen in the Spider-Verse movie.
Yeah.
But you know, that's, I mean, it is acting, I guess, but you know, but yeah, I like her, so I think that'll be good.
Yeah. I was listening to Comic Talk today.
Yeah.
on Nerdy Legion, which is great. It's, they do all the Dustin does all the comic news and pretty much what we're doing, but he's more timely with it. But I think what we do, it's like, yeah, most of the people know the stuff. We're giving our opinions on this, but he mentioned the same thing we had mentioned before, that they never call Jeremy Renner Hawkeye in any of the movies. He's never actually called Hawkeye.
Right.
The only time they use the term Hawkeye is in Endgame, when he says it to his daughter when she gets the bullseye at the beginning.
Yes.
And I thought it was funny that when I heard about Haley Steinfeld being cast, she kind of looks like his daughter. But that's not who she's going to be playing.
No, it's definitely Kate Bishop.
Yeah, but I was wondering if they were going to mix something up there.
I don't know, because it was weird that they sort of set that up at Endgame to where his daughter could be
Hawkeye. Yeah.
But we know it's Kate Bishop, so it's definitely not the same. But I didn't understand why I include all that with the daughter. In Endgame.
Calling her Hawkeye,
unless it's just misdirection. Yeah, maybe it's just misdirection.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, they're definitely two different people.
Right. What else you got?
Well, it looks like, potentially Emilia Clarke is being eyed for Zatanna in some future DCEU project.
Yep.
I like Emilia Clarke a lot. She's not the first person that comes to the top of my mind when I think about Zatanna. But I have no doubt that she could pull it off. I'm more excited about the thought of what she might be appearing in. you know, I mean, it would seem like a Justice League Dark situation maybe. I don't think we're in the world yet where we get a Zatanna standalone movie. So I would think she would be part of an ensemble.
And we
cast
know
somewhere,
and we know how good they are at doing ensemble movies.
Yeah, we do. So it definitely, you know, I mean, it could be a standalone for sure, but I would think it would be more along the lines of a Justice League Dark or something like that.
They couldn't wedge her into Suicide Squad, could they?
I mean, they could. That did just pop into my mind when I was saying that. Not really where you usually see her affiliated in the comics, but
no.
I mean, they, you know, obviously
you can wedge anybody in there.
Well, they all merge and run into each other everywhere in the comics, so technically they could do whatever they wanted with her.
Yeah.
But like I said, it was more, you know, I like the casting, but it was more just the thought that they're even considering as a Tana. I'm wondering how annoying that character will be on screen, though. It's one thing to read her saying everything backwards in the comics.
Yeah.
It's a completely different thing to hear it out loud.
It sound like a Led Zeppelin album.
Yeah. Another, yeah. It's like the White Album backwards or.
Yeah.
But there was a podcast. I know you and I both listened to the Ralph Report, but there was a segment a while back where they did a game where they said a bunch of things backwards and, you know, the other guy had to try to guess what he was saying.
Yeah.
It is very difficult to decipher those things. So
yeah.
I think it might be super annoying to hear that on screen, but, but we'll see.
With this day and age though, couldn't they just, drop it in? I mean, edit it audio-wise. I mean, with the special effects that they do, they could literally just take her voice and back it up.
No, they could. What I'm saying is, like, us trying to decipher it while we're watching it more than anything. Like, hearing it on screen is probably no different than hearing them speak Klingon or something when you're watching Star Trek.
So you put
subtitles.
But it's
going to be trying to decipher, right. I guess you'd have to – if I was trying to figure out what the spell she was casting. Yeah,
I can't decipher Spanish. It's like,
right,
they
but,
speak that.
Yeah, that's. But like I said, if I was trying to figure out what the spell was,
right.
Just by listening to her say it backwards, that would be very annoying and difficult. So
yeah, it would be tough.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Apologize for the jumpiness. We are getting a very, very late start.
That's all right. Well, while you're looking, I'll jump into the next one because you talked about Disney Plus news, and I actually forgot. They did announce Lawrence Fishburne is heading up the Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur animated show on Disney Plus.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool that he's going to be producing that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did you see Toys That Made Us Season 3 release date?
I didn't see the date, but I saw that, you know, that it was confirmed to be coming.
And did you see what one of the, I'm pulling it up right now. The release date, I think, is like November 14th or something like that.
Right.
Let me see if I can find it. But
isn't the Turtles one of them?
Yep. That's why I made note of it. I'm like, that it was the Turtles, My Little Pony, and I can't remember what the other
one. But yeah, I remember the, and I think it's the Playmate. Well, there'll probably be all the different toy lines, but Playmates was like the first line for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So yeah, that'll be cool.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I think it's something else, but yeah, I'm pretty sure. Oh, November 15th on Netflix.
Okay.
So it was the 15th. So that one, I want to see the Turtles. That's all.
Yeah,
pretty much out of that season. That's the main one, but they're all good. You end up watching them all.
Yeah. I've watched. Well, actually, I haven't really watched all of season two yet. I really only saw the first season of that.
Yeah.
So I need to go watch season two of that.
Oh, which one have you seen? The Transformers, or I think that was in one of them.
Season one was Star Wars, Lego, Barbie. And something in
G.I. Joe. Did you see that one? G.I. Joe
might
really
have been G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Transformers though.
Yeah.
In season one. Yeah. So I think that's all I remember seeing. I didn't see the season two.
So speaking of Disney Plus, Joe, my son sent me a tweet today from John Ehrlichman at John Ehrlichman on Twitter, and he put the he made a whole list of the monthly subscription costs for streaming services. So basically, what pretty much everybody would probably end up having, and then he you know he itemized the whole thing. So HBO Now is going to be $14.99, Netflix $12.99, Hulu and Hulu and CBS are in here, and they're both these are the ad free versions. That'll be $11.99. Showtime $10.99. CBS $9.99. Amazon or Prime. I'm sorry, just says Prime $8.99. Stars $8.99. Disney Plus $6.99. And then Apple TV at $4.99. And yep. That just came out recently, right?
Didn't you yesterday.
Say? Was it yesterday yeah. It was released? So yeah, Apple yeah. TV $4.99. Total cost is $90 a month. $90.91.
Right. Which is more than DirecTV.
Yeah, but far less than cable. But then you would add in your internet bill on top of that. But most people right. get an internet and cable anyways. So, that's actually not bad. And I don't even know what Prime is, or I could probably drop Prime and Stars.
Amazon Prime?
No, Amazon. Well, Prime's $8.99. You think that's what he's?
That's
talking
Amazon
about?
Prime, yeah, because that's $99 a year.
Oh, so he's dividing it out. Okay,
yeah,
a month.
Yeah.
All right, I got you. Yeah, so yeah, we'd have that. Yeah. Oh, I could drop the Showtime if I wanted to. I don't watch that right now, so I don't right. have that now. But yeah, I don't think that's too bad. I mean,
no,
it's
like
all
said,
gonna
it is,
balance out at the end of the day. It's
it
we're
is
not saving
to,
money.
No, that's the thing. It is starting to add up to the point where even cutting the cord not a bargain. You
right.
know?
Well, they've been saying that. It'll the money you're never gonna right. save money. Eventually it's gonna come up, we're going to end up paying whatever we were paying before.
Right.
And now we're just getting, the only difference is you can, it's like kind of a la carte now, so you can pick and choose.
Right, because you don't have
decision.
To get all of
you
those
don't
things.
Have to
like
have
you
it.
Said, I don't need Stars or Showtime.
Right.
I don't need Showtime at all anymore, because the only thing I watched was Shameless, and I can pick that up on Netflix. Stars, I just turn it on for a month and binge my show, and then
right.
I turn it back off again. So,
well, and that's why that whole idea of weekly content instead of binging, I think is the binge part is kind of probably going to go away.
Well, no, because even on Stars, the show I watch will air weekly, but I'll wait till it finishes.
That's true.
And then I'll turn it on
yep.
and I'll binge
so
it.
So we could still do that, yeah.
Right. You just have to wait till it's done and
right.
avoid spoilers for 13 weeks or so
right.
while it's happening. But the show I would like what I watch on Stars isn't something that's like actively spoiled on, you know,
right.
online anyway. So,
well, we didn't have HBO. We dropped it last summer and then we picked it up right before Game of Thrones.
Right.
And then I was going to drop it again and then I was like, "Ah, I'll just keep it cuz I know Watchmen's coming out."
Yes.
So, that's you know, they
But that'll roll into HBO Max
eventually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever
so
that
HBO
comes
Max
out.
Will cover that service anyway. So,
yep. All right, you got anything else?
Real quick, it looks like the showrunner for Titans is teasing Nightwing before the end of season two. So, I think you know we speculated
yeah.
that too, but that'll be cool to see if we actually get a suited up version of Nightwing.
Yeah, I think we had said that before that we would probably see him in this. Season
we
because that's going to get us to three.
Yeah, we speculated that we probably would, but this is now the people that actually control the show.
I thought teasing
that they will.
Right. Next step is do they start teasing Red Hood, or does that come in season three or four? Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll see the. I don't know if we'll see that in season two.
Yeah. Or will we see a tease towards it?
Maybe. Well, I mean, yeah, I think we're already seeing a tease towards it because if you look at the personality of Jason Todd, even from season one,
yeah,
you know, that's already slightly Red Hood esque, anyways.
Well,
so.
his propensity, or if that's the word, for guns.
Yes,
you know, even in the
yes.
first episode of, and
right.
I know it was a dream.
It was, but.
But he
they
was still
went there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a dream that's in his head, I guess. So if he's able to do that, you know.
Right.
Let's see. What do we got? You got anything else for
just
news?
One last thing real quick. It looks like Margot Robbie is rebooting Tank Girl.
I heard that today, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which also would be cool. She's starting to
I never saw the first
appear.
One.
I really didn't either.
And
I didn't either, but I've read some of the comics.
Oh, have you?
I mean,
I've never read the comics.
It's not like I'm a huge Tank Girl fan.
Yeah.
I can't say that I know that much, but I like Margot Robbie, and, you know, I've liked most of what she's done. So, you know, now it just says it actually says like her production company or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, she's
to
doing
be involved.
Everything.
So I don't know if she's going to actually star in it. Like, she may just be producing it, but it wouldn't make sense for her to star in it. I would imagine. You know, when you're looking for vehicles to produce, it's usually for yourself.
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So. That's, I heard she's supposed to be involved in all aspects of it.
Yeah.
Again, might have heard that on, you know, comic news today. But yeah. So yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. And
yes.
It'd be great to see. I think she would do a great job with it. That, you know, so even though I'm not a Tank Girl fan of the comic or anything, I'm definitely interested in those in a movie about it.
Yeah, I'll watch it for sure.
Yeah, yeah. You want to get into that quick discussion that we saw on Twitter from Marcus? Did you see that one?
Well, remind me.
So, this Marcus from the Boxers at Mr. Bestevis. Marvel fans, the MCU is Tom Brady. Do you want them to keep going till they lose their fastball and it gets sad, or do you want them to go out on top? Please discuss.
I guess the first thing. The first thing I would ask is, what's Tom Brady doing with a fastball?
Right.
Because we're mixing all kinds of metaphors in that tweet.
Yeah. No, I was like, well, the thing is, and my first reply or whatever was, it's not like this has a lifespan. It's
right.
You know what I mean? It's like, Marvel's been around.
Neither
you and I
does Tom Brady. He's going to play forever.
Right.
He'll be playing when we're both dead. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? So it's like, it can go on. And it can go on. And it's not like, no, it's not going to be Infinity War Endgame level the entire time. But it hasn't been up until now either.
Right.
You know, and it's...
There's no guarantee that Phase 4 even follows any of the roadmap that we've had in the past. Like,
right.
There's no guarantee that these are all going to be connected movies.
Right.
Like they were in phase, you know, in the beginning.
Well, I think
we don't know that they're trying to recapture lightning in a bottle with this new set of movies.
That's a good point. So I was thinking about that while we were tweeting back and forth, and there's a lot more you could say now that you can't say in a tweet because you could say it a little quicker. But
right.
If you think about the MCU so far, they're connected. But they're connected. Each movie is connected like by a small thread.
Right.
They're not all intertwined. You know, it's
right.
Like when they started to get intertwined was like a civil war. That was a Captain America movie, but it really wasn't. It was an Avengers.
Right. It was basically Avengers 2.5 or
exactly.
Whatever it was.
So, but other than that, it's like, so you had three Iron Man movies that really had nothing to do with anybody else.
Right.
And you had pretty much three Thors that had nothing to do with anybody else, and you had two Captain Americas that had nothing to do with anybody else, and then they started to bring everybody in. So they really designed the MCU just like the comic books. Like Iron Man is in his own comic. Spider-Man
right.
is in his own comic, but then he pops in to the Avenger stories.
Right.
And it can be different characters in the Avengers. So we might not see the threads that are connecting Phase 4, but they'll be there. And when that's kind of the magic of what they do. It's like the movies can stand on their own.
Right, but we were always – well, not maybe always, but I mean, we may not be building towards another big team-up like we were with the Avengers movies, you
right.
know? I mean, all of these were sort of building to the Avengers 1, you know, team up. That's what the first phase of movies was kind of building toward. But looking at the slate of movies coming up, like, what team would they be building towards now? Like, we may not be building towards anything.
Right.
You know, The Eternals might just be the Eternals, and they're not going to team up with Black Panther and, you know, Doctor Strange.
Well, and that's the thing. Each phase had a team up. So we had Avengers, then we had Age of Ultron, and then we had Infinity War Endgame.
Exactly.
So, maybe you could, and when you look at Endgame, compare that to Avengers, it was a smaller team up. It was, Avengers was, it was a team up, but obviously there were less characters.
Yes.
And it was like they didn't really want to be together type of deal. So who knows? It could be something where they really do want to be together. I don't know. That's silly to even get into. There's so many variables. But the point is, it's like it can go on.
Right.
It will go on because of the fans, because of the people. As long as we keep going to the movies, it will go on. And that's the part that the next part of this conversation that actually was brought up by J-Lo like a day later she didn't tweet it. She was asked. So she really didn't do this on her own, but somebody asked her about how difficult it is to make a movie. And she made the comment that it's difficult to make anything now that isn't a comic book movie. And she felt like Marvel on comic book movies are stifling Hollywood because nobody wants to put money into anything that isn't comic book related.
Okay, James Cameron.
Which I call BS because then Marcus jumped on that, and Marcus and I had a conversation back and forth because I forwarded that to him. I'm like, look, she thinks like you. I don't agree, but she thinks like you. And there's plenty of indie films being made.
Plenty of other movies. There's plenty of other big budget movies being made that aren't comic book movies.
Exactly.
I watched a whole bunch of movies last year that didn't have anything to do with comic books.
Right. Well, and it's funny because Pete jumped in on the conversation, super sweet, and he was like, I love Westerns. So, immediately I Googled, I'm like, here's 5 Westerns from this year. And he goes, I didn't even know those existed. I was like, well, yeah, but you got to find them. But maybe they're not as prevalent as the comic book movies, but they are there. There are things out there. And Mark C., from on Twitter, he jumped in and he said he sent us a link, and I retweeted. I can't remember what the name of it is right now, of an app, and it's pretty cool. I should just find it, but I tweeted it out anyways. But you can put in anything you want, and you can refine this down to what kind of movies you like, even to the point that you can set the tomato meter score, so it'll only give you movies that are over 80%.
Yeah.
And it's it's pretty cool. You can really refine down what you want to see. So, and it was funny because Pete said, he goes, I don't get to see these other movies because I get my 3 Marvel movies a year or whatever. And I'm like, well, love you, buddy. But if you're telling me that 3 Marvel movies are 3 a year are setting you back out of the hundreds of movies that come out a year, it's like that's you're losing an argument there. So it's I just think, yes, I think the superhero movie, the comic book movie, it's that full moon effect. Everybody sees it. It's the biggest thing, but it doesn't mean there aren't other things out there.
Right.
And other things are getting their money. And just because Endgame is making $3 billion, that indie film that used to make only $10 million, it's still only making $10
million. Yeah.
But it's still doing the same thing because it's a different market.
It Chapter 2 is going to make $1 billion.
You think?
I think so. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, close. I mean, it's going to do a lot of money.
That's good for a horror movie.
Maybe it doesn't hit $1 billion. I don't know. But I mean, it's going to do a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, and look at other movies that don't do quite as much. But, I mean, there was a million Conjuring movies this year. There's all kinds of horror movies coming out. I mean, there's plenty of other movies that are coming out,
I know plenty of people that have no idea about comic book movies.
Yeah.
And they roll their eyes like, what? Huh? They don't pay attention. And it's like, and you'd think with all the marketing that they would know about it. And you're like, no, they don't. They don't pay attention to it. They watch what they want to watch.
Yep.
So it's like, I don't get it. I just think, to me, it's kind of a little bit like, and like I said about J-Lo, kind of smart on her part to even mention it, because what do? You get people like us, you get the comic book fans talking about it, about her movie, which I think was Hustlers, I think is the movie right. she's promoting. And that's great, because now you have the biggest market right now, the most passionate people talking about Hustlers. And right. it's free advertising, and it's a smart way to do it. That's how to work with the system, you know, and it's funny because she's like, oh, it's hard to get these movies made, but yet she's promoting one that has been made.
Right. You got it made.
Exactly. So I don't know. I could go on about that.
Maybe it's hard because you're J-Lo. You know, nobody wants to see anything you do, but
no, I actually want to see Hustlers. That looks pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. What else do we got? There it is, Hustlers J-Lo. Did you see the tweet that Dr. Joe put out about all the old books he found in his basement?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool, huh?
It did, yes.
Yeah, Scarlet Witch, a What If Iron Man book. Was that Hulk 2099, I think, was in there? It's pretty cool.
Yeah, some cool 90s books.
Yeah. Anything else?
Nope.
All right, let's get into our comics. So,
all right,
what am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right, so the first book we have on our Speculator's Corner is Catwoman number 15, the Art Germ variant. Mostly selling around cover price, but there were a couple sales in the $8 range. So there might be some more. Like I said, the Art Germ covers have been a little hit and miss lately with Catwoman. Some of them seem to hit with the fans more than others. I think the fact that he's done he's basically done an alternate for all 15 issues so far. So, you know, people aren't, it's not like a rarity anymore.
Right.
Where people are just saying, oh, Art Germ did a Catwoman cover. I need to go out and get it.
It's kind of expected now.
Now they're being a little bit more picky about which ones they like. And this particular one, is the Michelle Pfeiffer Catwoman,
Didn't you do that one already? Oh,
yeah.
This
came out.
Okay, this is
the one that came out today. Yeah.
See, I was thinking we're on FOC.
We saw it on FOC a few weeks ago.
Right, right.
But yeah, that came out
today. It actually came out today, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of people, really like that one. So it's seeing a little bit of interest. Next on the list, we have Captain Marvel issue number 10. So this looks like it's going to be the first full appearance of Star. So we saw her cameo in issue number 8. And that one picked up steam and, you know, selling for about $20. So this one will have some additional interest, in it. And then, a spoiler from the issue, if you haven't got a chance to read it, and I won't spoil exactly, but they revealed who Star is. And I won't say who it is specifically, but her first appearance, as a civilian is actually Captain Marvel number 1. From this particular run.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's another one that, would be more of a back issue bonus than Speculators, but, that one may be one to grab as well. Miles Morales issue number 10. Looks like it has a new character called Ultimatum. Selling for about $7 right now, so almost double cover price. Looks like it is trending upwards, so, another one to keep an eye on. Powers of X number 4 came out today. Again, still hot. This is just like a broken record from week to week now. But really,
you want
the
me
ones
just dub
that are,
in what you said last week.
Yeah, the ones that are really picking up steam the most seem to be these connecting covers, though. Those are the ones that are the most in demand. This week's connecting cover is selling for about $15 right now. So that seems to be the one people want. The ones nobody cares about, apparently, are the action figure variants. From week to week, those seem to be the last ones. I'm selling out of those two, but they're the last ones to go. There's no other copies left and people are just looking for, to read, that's the ones they end up picking up. And I don't imagine that'll change until, issue 6 comes out. Venom number 18 is an Absolute Carnage tie-in, so get a lot of interest on this one. Regular covers are selling for about $15 already.
Yeah, you know why?
And I haven't read that one yet, so I don't know exactly why. But
okay, it's the last page.
Yeah, I haven't got to that one yet, but I'm sure something happens. Like I said, I know they've been teasing a lot of stuff coming up with Venom.
It's
so
pretty cool.
Yeah,
I wasn't gonna get it because I'm not reading Venom.
Right.
And I got to the store this morning, and Slade's like, I know you're not reading Venom, but you want this. I was like, all right. And he goes, you're not reading it, so it's not a spoiler, so here. And he flipped to the page, and I was like, okay, I'm going to read it. Yeah. So I won't tell you what it is, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, don't tell me, because I actually have been reading Venom. I just didn't get, you know, that far down my list of books today. But I did sell out of Venom. I don't have a single copy
left. Oh, really?
So, yeah. You know, I didn't get my books on the shelf until about 4 o'clock today. So in 3 hours, I sold out of that. So, yeah, a lot of people were looking for it. The 1 in 25 variant for that is also selling for, like, double ratio at, like, $50. So,
oh, wow.
Like I said, that's going to definitely be a book to watch. The fourth printing of Once in Future hit today. So again, we mentioned the second printing a little while back. The fourth printing on this is selling for about $20. Which is more than the first printing is selling for. But like I said, I mentioned that and Something is Killing the Children, which is also the next on my list. The way they're filling these, printings is you don't actually know which one you're going to get when you order them. They're just sending you basically whatever they have, you know, whatever they have.
Yeah.
It could be second print, could be sixth print. At this point, you don't know what you're going to get. So they're hard to even order specifically. And like I said, going along with that, the second printing of Something is Killing the Children, is also selling for about $20. So those are both books to keep an eye on. Something is Killing the Children picked up a lot of steam over this week. I sold a bunch of copies of that. Did you get a chance to read that one yet?
What, Something is Killing the Children?
Yeah.
No.
No. Yeah, you definitely want to pick that up because it's really good. It has also just been converted from a mini series to an ongoing series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's definitely going to be one to pick up. And that's it as far as speculator books for this week.
All right. What?
Oh, I was just say back issue bonus.
Oh, okay. I usually introduce.
I know,
okay.
That's why I paused and waited for you to do it.
And I was about to.
Yeah, it's all right. We'll get there.
Go.
This show's a little bit be a little bit crazy. So there's only a couple on here. First book is Thor number 6. This is being considered the first appearance of Loki as the Necro God. Little spoiler for King Thor, if you haven't read that yet. But this is selling for about $15 right now, basically based on King Thor coming out today. One that we talked about last week was Batwing issue number 19. Again, the first appearance of Luke Fox. Last Tuesday, it was $20. Now it's selling for about $60. So it's tripled in price in a week. Still don't know if Luke Fox is actually going to become Batman or not, but a lot of people seem to think so. So definitely one to look out for this week. And last but not least, we have Stump Town issue number 1. So this is a TV show that's coming out this season. It's got, can't think of her name, Maria Hill.
Smulders.
Is starring in Stumptown. And so the closer we get to that show coming out, the interest for this book is heating up. So right now it's selling for about $40. And that's it for back issue bonus.
Is it my turn now?
It is your turn.
All right.
I paused again for effect.
Nice. All right. What do we have for FOC? Final order cutoff for Monday.
Final order cutoff. So DC variant covers, we have Batman and the Outsiders number 6. This is Stephen Segovia. This is the coolest cover I've seen in a long time. I really like this one. Yeah. I don't know. Again, if you saw my Facebook post that went up today with these covers, but that one is really, really good looking. Again, it reminds me, it looks like a deceased cover almost. You know, it's definitely a horror themed cover.
Yeah.
I don't know how that ties into Batman and the Outsiders, but it's still really cool.
I don't think a lot of these tie in at all.
Yeah. But it looks good
but
either
just
way.
Just so cool, yeah.
Yeah. Next we have Detective Comics number 1013. That's got a Tyler Kirkham cover. And then Harley and Ivy, issue number 2. There's two, Warren Lau covers. So just like the first issue, Harley gets her own cover and Ivy gets her own cover. These don't look like they're specifically connecting covers like issue 1 was. But these are also really good looking covers. I really like both of them. And that's it as far as variant covers for DC.
Yeah, I'm looking at that first one. That's awesome.
The Harley and Poison Ivy?
No, the Outsiders.
Oh, the Outsiders. Yeah, it looks really good.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's
super cool.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so new series from DC. We have Batman's Grave, issue number 1. This is going to be a 12-issue miniseries. There's 3 covers for it. This is written by Warren Ellis, so I don't know much else about it other than that, but should be a good story. We have the Joker Year of the Villain one-shot. There's 2 covers for it. And then another series called RWBY. This is issue number 1 of 7 issues. And there's 2 covers for that. And that's it for DC. From IDW, we have Cobra Kai, The Karate Kid Saga Continues. This is issue number 1 of 4, and there's multiple covers for that. I imagine that'll tie somewhat into the YouTube Red series, Cobra Kai, which I haven't had a chance to watch yet, but I hear great things about.
Yeah.
I just don't want to pay for another streaming service. I may wait till both seasons are done and do the whole free trial thing and watch those. Anyway, from Image Comics, we have Spawn number 301. This is re-FOC. It was on FOC last Monday as well. But even a week later, and 4 days before FOC, 80% of these cover images are still not available. So there's 15 covers, and we only know what about 3 of them look like. So hopefully before Monday we'll have a better idea of what they are. But yeah, I FOC'd most of these last Monday. Didn't know what any of them looked like. So that's crazy. And that's it from Image. Marvel has only 1 variant cover that was available, and that's the Miles Morales issue number 11. That's a Mirka Andolfo Mary Jane variant. And that was a pretty cool one as well. And then from new series, we have Doctor Doom issue number 1, and there's multiple covers for that. And that's really it. Marvel was pretty quiet this week as far as FOC.
Yeah.
From Boom, we have the Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel Hellmouth issue number 1. This is the first Boom Studios like Buffy universe crossover event. So, I guess if you like both of those, this will be right up your alley. Titan Comics, we have Robotech Remix issue number 1, multiple covers for that. And finally from Zenoscope, we have Grimm Tales of Terror. This is the 2019 Halloween special. And because it's Zenoscope, there's 5 or 6 covers for it.
Cool.
And that's it.
Halloween special.
For FOC.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We ready to get into our recommended reading?
Yes, although I didn't think we called it that anymore. But
it's still written here in the notes. You're right.
I know.
So, John, what have you read this week?
So I read.
It's another one of those podcasts.
I know. I'd say we'll fix it in post, but
we're
at this point, I know we're not going to. Yeah. So.
This
anyways,
is post.
This right. This is pre, post, during. Who knows?
I think we're live.
Yeah. We should just go. We should have just done this live at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Said, okay, it's up.
Yep.
All right. So the first book I read is called Beware the Witch's Shadow. This is from American Mythology Productions, written by Jason Pell and Various. And then art was by Rich Bonk and Various. There was three different anthology stories in this book, along with like the introductory pages. It was set up sort of like a like the Crypt Keeper was telling the stories, and then there was like three different stories that went along with it. So I think that's why they were various artists throughout. So yeah, this is basically, it was like a, I can't think of the name of the show that the Crypt Keeper was on.
Tales from the Crypt?
Tales from the Crypt.
On HBO?
Yeah, it was set up sort of like that. Like I said, they had a character which was the witch, and she was basically the Crypt Keeper. So she had her little intros to these three different stories. But it was three different horror stories. This whole book was done in black and white. It's really about all I can say about it. Honestly, this wasn't very good. I really struggled for new number ones to find to read today. There just wasn't a lot that came out.
Right.
And this is one of the ones I picked up.
Quite a few.
There was a lot of not like number ones from Marvel. Like there was a lot of the mainstream number ones, but I didn't find too many of the independent ones. So anyways, I really can't recommend this book, to be honest with you. It wasn't very good.
Okay.
I just left it on the list because I did read it.
And yeah.
I didn't have time to add anything else.
Yeah. Your books came in pretty late too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got two that are, they're number ones, and they are indie. So, first one I'll do is, Midnight Sky by Scout Comics.
Okay.
Written by James Pruitt, art by Scott Van Domelin.
Okay. I didn't even get that. So,
okay. This one was, it was really good. The write up says it's, Invasion of the Body Snatchers meets They Live. It's pretty cool. The They Live reference. Remember in They Live, you had to wear the glasses and you could see the aliens. Well, there's a similar, it's not glasses, but there's a way to see the aliens are walking around as normal people. They look like normal people. I won't give away how they find out who they are.
Is Rowdy Roddy Piper in it? That's
no.
all I really need to know. Yeah. No, okay.
No. but
does anybody have a kilt?
It's yes, it's that dystopian future. Sorry.
Yay.
Sorry to say. The art is very simplistic, but the story carries the book. It's funny. Spoiler in the first couple pages, first two pages, a character kills a dog. And I almost didn't buy the book because of that, because I was so like emotionally distraught standing there. I literally had a pain in my stomach because of what I just read.
And then Keanu Reeves came and
killed
all the aliens.
But I said, you know what? If something moved me like that, I need to buy it. You know what I mean? So I get to the counter and I said to Slade, I asked Slade, I go, have you read this one yet? He goes, no, not yet. And I go, well, dog dies in like page two. And he goes, now I'm probably not going to read it. but the story, it is a very good story. I'm definitely going to add this to my list. It's a family moves. It jumps ahead into the future. It's like I said, it's that, you know, dystopian future. And I know I'm not doing a very good job describing it because I don't want to describe it. I'd rather have you just read it and you'll, the main character is a girl. She ends up an older woman. She's at the beginning. She's younger, obviously, at the beginning, but she befriends a dog later on. So that, it is better. It gets better for the dog later. It's a different dog, but.
It doesn't get better for the first dog.
Yeah. Well, you don't know that the dog died. It's just not good. It's just not good.
And it's like, I was like, so mad at the character, which I'm sure you will be too when you read it, but it's a different take on that entire genre. And it has family feel to it. It has, you know, mystery. And it, like I said, it's, I highly recommend it. I'm adding it. I want to keep going on this. So
awesome.
I can't recommend it enough.
Does anybody have a vision of our future where we haven't destroyed ourselves? That's what I want to know.
No, I know. I heard somebody.
I guess only Star Trek. Oh, right? Star Trek is the only thing that has a vision of the future where mankind is actually progressed in a positive manner.
Which podcast was I listening to today? It was a Nerdy Legion podcast, and they were saying just that. They had just watched it was either Indie Alley or it was Nerdy Legion. But they were, one of them was saying that they were watching the old, it was Indie Alley. And they were saying they were watching the old Back to the Future movies.
Right.
And one of the hosts, his wife is like in the background, and she didn't like two, she liked one, blah, blah, blah. But they thought it was funny that when you watch two now, the future is 2015.
Right.
So you can compare it to what really happened. And they made that exact comment that you just said. And they were saying, like, back in, like, when this was made in the 80s, look how bright our future was in 2015. But if you jump 30 years ahead now.
Right, we're all dead.
We're all dead. It's like, it got so great. The only thing we can do is go down.
We're all dead, or we have cybernetic parts, and
and you know what's funny?
Scrounging for food, fighting zombies, and, you know.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, too, though. I think our lives have gotten so good that I really think that our imaginations can't get better, so we go in the opposite direction. Whereas in the 80s, we were like, imagine if we had this, imagine if we had that. Well, now we know from then that most of those things we were imagining, either they came true or just physically aren't possible.
Right?
So now what's left? Well, we've done all the possible. The only thing left to do is destroy ourselves.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad, but it's kind
of
funny
bleak.
At the same time.
It's like we don't have a good outlook for our future.
Yeah. Even the X-Men are going to be dead in 1,000 years.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, actually, though, have you seen the solicits for the X-Men #1 that's coming out in November?
I think so. What about
Have you seen the cover art for issue #1? Because there's a character on that book that we didn't think was going to go forward anymore after last issue.
Well, you don't know what timeline that's going to be in, though.
It
could be before last issue. Who knows?
Yeah, but you wouldn't think so.
I know.
You wouldn't think that would happen.
I don't know
what I'm talking about, right? I still don't want to spoil.
No, I know.
I don't want to spoil.
Yeah, I know, because some people haven't gotten their books yet.
Yeah.
No, I know who you're talking about.
So I was surprised to see that today.
The timelines are so convoluted. I'm not even I saw it and I'm like, I know what you're talking about though, but yeah. So what did you think of your next one? I read this one as well.
King Thor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So King Thor issue #1. This is going to be a 4-issue miniseries. Of course, that's Marvel Comics. Writer was Jason Aaron, of course, because he's written Thor for 7 years. And Isad Rabik is the artist. So, this is basically the conclusion to the 7-year story that's been going on, you know, with Thor. I liked it.
Did you? That's what I did.
I
actually liked it, and I haven't been reading the 7-year story. And I was excited to see that you added it to your recommended reading.
I haven't read all of it either. Like, I actually didn't read the beginning, the story that this is basically continuing.
Yeah.
With the, you know, the God Butcher and the Necro Sword and all that. I hadn't actually read that run of Thor. So this is a little bit new to me, but I've been reading it ever since the Jane Foster era.
Yeah.
When she came on, and of course I read all of the War of the Realms, and I had a little bit of an idea of what this was about, but I didn't know the whole story. But like I said, I really did like this book. Of course this takes place. This is you know, Thor has been the Allfather for centuries, it seems, at this point. You know, this is quite a bit in the future from where we are currently in the Marvel Universe. So, I don't know. Like you said, I don't really want to spoil it, but I did like it. I thought it was really good.
I thought the artwork was really good.
Yes.
I thought it was...
Yeah, I like his art. His art's great.
Great contrast. I thought there were times there was a lot of bright colors.
Yes.
I mean the cover's great. I don't want to say the cover doesn't do it justice, because the cover is great, but the cover, it has a different feel than the book itself.
Yes.
So yeah, and I liked the book too. It was a fun story. Watching the brothers, you know, I just thought it was like, it was interesting, the back and forth.
Well, you kind of wonder what's gone on in between War of the Realms ending and this book starting. Like I said, obviously the centuries.
Centuries.
That's what I'm saying. This is many centuries
millennium.
In the future.
Yeah.
but when we last see Thor and Loki kind of at the end of War of the Realms, they're not at odds with each other.
No.
You know, there's a truce. They're, you know, Loki's the king of Jotunheim or whatever it's called.
Jotunheim.
You know, king of the frost giants, and, you know, Thor is the Allfather. But, I mean, there's like a truce and a peace between them that obviously disintegrates somewhere along the millennia. And we don't really know why.
Yeah. How about what Thor does with the hammer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty wild.
That was crazy. That was.
Yeah.
I like when they do stuff like that on a, you know, something that, I haven't been reading Thor my whole life, so maybe he's done this in the past. But when they take something like that, like, I didn't know that was possible.
Right.
You know, that was pretty cool. And you know what's so funny? What I wanted to say is, when I started this book, I was like, whew, War of the Realms flashback. I got a little bit fatigue at the very beginning. Like, the first couple pages, you're like, when you see that, the script and the lettering, and you're like, oh no.
Yes. it's like, oh, is this going to be hard to read?
I got nervous. So I was like, oh no, I just got like those flashbacks are like, I got to read like six books today.
Yeah. Is there 87 tie-ins to this 4-issue miniseries?
No, I thought it was really good. I didn't have high expectations for it. I actually was a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
Going into it, but.
Well, see, and I had been looking forward to it actually, because, you know, I've been reading Thor, and, you know, the last issue of Thor came out a couple weeks ago, and, you know, sort of set this up. So,
cool. My second book, Pandemica.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen that one?
Do you
know it exists?
Yes, I do know it exists, but I didn't read it.
As much as I liked Midnight Sky.
You disliked Pandemica?
No, I like this one better.
Oh, okay.
This was a different take for a comic book, honestly, for me.
Yeah.
Very political. Takes some shots at, you know, the political climate of today.
Okay.
Timely. Regardless of what side you come down on, what everything's going on today, it's still, I mean, and so basically there is a, I guess you'd call it a plague, but it's only targeting certain demographics. Okay. I won't give it away, but it's going after it looks like a plague, but it's jumping all over the planet. It's not like, and it says it in like the first page or second page, there's no patient zero. Okay. For this. So it's kind of like people are targeting different, well, races and everything. So by the end of the book, you're like, it feels weird at the first few pages you're reading.
Yeah,
it, you're like,
sounds
oh
weird.
Boy, like it's, but they touch all the, they reference all the right things. They talk about all the things, and it does. It's uncomfortable. But by the end of the book, you're like, it's a really good, there's a story there that turns into a comic book story. But by the time you're done with it, I was like, wow, this is fun. This looks going to be a fun one to talk about. I look forward. I want you to find this.
Yeah, I'll have to read it.
It's different, but it's very entertaining. You don't want to, I didn't want to put it down. And it just, by the end of it, you have a team of people trying to solve a problem. So there's a mystery there. And it keeps unraveling as the book goes. There's more and more added to it that makes you just go, oh, cool. Okay. It's really good. It's a good mystery. It's like I said, I've never read anything like that in a comic. I thought it was really, really good.
That's intriguing to me right there. So.
All right. Were you able to read anything else?
I read a lot of this week's books already before today. So
nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So Powers. Yeah. Oh, you know, did you notice we didn't get Powers? We didn't get Powers of X early.
Oh yes,
that wasn't included. I got to the store
because I was looking for it.
Yeah, I forgot about it. I was so excited because we got Marvel. And I was like, yay! And I looked, and then I got to the store. I go, oh, yeah, Powers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's pretty cool.
That was not included in our advanced
downloads. Our bundle.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so what'd you think of – did you get to read Powers today?
I did read Powers,
oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. What'd you think?
To me, another issue that didn't hit – for me, on all cylinders.
Yeah, Powers is tough.
Yeah.
It's so informative.
It is.
But did you see my tweet and what I said? And I knew you were getting your books late, so I wasn't sure if you... Yeah. I didn't want to say. I can't wait to talk about it. But did you see what I said? And then I think it is the most entertaining Powers
of
book
the
so
Powers
far.
Powers book. Yes.
And you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
I really think it was the most entertaining Powers book.
Right. It had a little bit lighter tone than...
Yeah, it had some fun in there.
Right, it did have some comedic
they
aspects.
They balanced it out with a crapload of information.
Yes. Well, I liked all the sinister rumors.
Yeah.
Or sinister facts or whatever they called them. It was like reading the National Enquirer.
Yeah, you know? Did you see he's Jonathan Hickman has continued it on Twitter? He's added a few. He's up to I think he did 11 and 12 on Twitter or something like that.
Oh, because
it only goes to like 10, right?
Yeah, I'll have to look that up. Yes, I think it was 10.
Yeah, but on Twitter he added like a 12th one, and I just saw it just before we started recording. But yeah, I talked to Slade about it. I'm like, what do you think? I asked him what he thought of Powers, and he's like everybody else, they take a deep breath. And then they're like, I think it's something that's going to tie in later that we have to get through.
Well, we hope so, but we're getting down to the end of it. So it needs to start tying in. So,
no, but I think, and I agreed with Slade. It's the same thing. It's like, I think it's not something that's necessarily going to, it'll tie in, but I think this is all going to be information that in later books and as this goes on, we'll reference back to this stuff and people. This is where the discussions will come in because some people will remember other things and other, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I just think it's just really that when you're revamping and starting from scratch with a whole new universe, I think he's just doing everything he can to give us as much information. That's the only thing I can gather from this because honestly, House is fantastic.
Yes,
I'm loving House. And I think if Powers was just by itself, I think a lot of people would just be so like inundated with info. They wouldn't, you could see why they released these together.
Yeah.
You know? All right. What else do you read? Anything of note?
Well, like I said, I read, I've pretty much read all of the DC books that I read. And a lot of the Marvel books that came out this week. So, I read Batman
78.
Yeah, I read Batman 78.
What'd you think?
I loved it.
Of course you did.
Because you know why, you know why I did. It's just the same reason with the tweet you put out. You know, I'm a sucker for that relationship.
Yep.
I really had fun with this issue. It is exactly what I said it was going to be, where it did not reference at all the issues of issue 77. And I knew that it wasn't going to. This
right.
was kind of like the intermission issue.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I like where it ended. So yeah.
On that. So you saw the tweet I put out. I'm sorry. I'm a sucker.
Yep.
For a Batcat. No, I'm not sorry. I love Batman 78. I love what Tom King is doing. Can't wait for his Batcat run. Can't wait to talk about 78 on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then I sent out the photos that we had at the time. So that got, Tom King retweeted us.
Yeah.
And we got two.
We got some responses.
We got 21 retweets, 262 likes. For us, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
We're little. We don't, you know, and that's it. For us, we were excited about that. We're like, that's
yes.
great. But you know you've hit it big. You know we are moving on up there. Wheezy is happy. Because you know why?
Why?
You got to go deep into the depths of your replies because it all gets blocked.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I know. How much did DC or Tom King pay you to say that? Or do you just like blanking his blank?
I mean, I love the idea that
I love
thinks
it.
We're big enough that
exactly.
he's paying us to say anything.
I'm like, that is awesome. I was like, hey, thank you. And then Apothesis Comics and Lounge puts out the Tony Stark eye roll, which
yeah.
I think is great. But I'm like, really? It's like, then you look at the, I'm not going to say who the guy is or anything, or
no.
woman or whatever, but the person is. But you're like, they got, I think it's like, if you click on it, they got 4 followers.
Yeah.
You're like, okay. Not to make fun of that. It's like, but seriously, what, I mean, I don't, my personal account, I only have 40 followers. We're not that far apart. I don't care.
Yeah, right.
But how, you know, the intelligence
you're a power
it takes.
Of 10.
Like, right. Exactly. It's like, you seriously think, like, thank you for the compliment that somebody
right.
would pay us for our opinion because it's that valuable.
Right.
It's like, if we got a nickel, I'd be happy. It's like, but no, it's, and then he said more.
Yeah, it went on.
Oh, he actually, I didn't even see. Oh, he actually came on. He said another one too. I never saw that one. I saw this one. I'd love to know how much did DC pay for a good review? What kind of concessions they're getting? Or do they just like it? And he goes back to that. His writing of Batman is so edgelord and unnecessary.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that yeah. means. Tom King, whatever medicines you're taking for your depression, it's not enough. And then Apothesis comes back with, oh, 4 followers, you know,
yeah.
piss off bot account. I don't think that's a bot account. How would you do that? You get 4. And then he said, yeah, I didn't see this last one. Oh, so you're another one of those people who like Tom. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's what you got nothing better to do? It's like, why are you, how did they even see us?
Well, we're big time because DC pays us for our opinion. So
yeah, exactly. Like who,
I mean,
who
I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for the check for my Superman Year One review. So
yeah, no, so, I thought it was funny, and I'll never reply to those. I laugh at them. I just think
yeah.
they're so great, and you know how I handle stuff like that because we've handled it in the past and we've talked about it, and I just think I'll talk about it and I'll compliment the person if it's, you know, and I'm complimenting them. Thank you very much. You think we are that big? That's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, it I thought was a riot. I'm like, we've made, I sent it to my wife and I said, look it, we've made it. We're getting hate mail.
That's how you know you're loved.
Yeah, exactly. But back to the 206. So we got 262 likes and one dislike.
Yeah.
Twitter ain't that bad.
Tom King?
Yeah. No, he retweeted us. He liked it and retweeted us.
Oh, I thought he disliked it.
Nope. He retweeted. Yeah. He liked it and retweeted us. So
awesome.
Yep. Yeah. So that was, you know, Tom King, friend of the podcast.
That's right.
Real friend of the podcast.
Real friend of the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was, but yeah, no, I love the book too.
I really had a lot of fun with that. With that book.
Did you see on Twitter the panel that was out with Tom Selleck in the background? That's what who's the artist? Drawing a blank.
Clayman.
Yeah, Clayman. That he put Tom Selleck in the background on the beach.
Oh, I didn't notice that it was Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I saw the panel, but I didn't notice that it was Tom Selleck.
It's very tiny. It's tiny in the background. Let me see if I can find it for you. But that he tweeted out, and this was before it came out, and then he like zoomed in on the panel. And so you see that, and it's all blurry because the character's so little in the background.
Yeah.
But it's the exact same pose as Tom Selleck. So, I mean, it is Tom Selleck in the background.
Cool.
It's pretty
funny.
Yeah,
I'll have to go back and look at it again. I'm going to read it again anyway, so.
Yeah, so am I. I'll probably read it again right before I read 79.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? Did you read Batman Detective comics?
Yes.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. I read all of the 87 Batman books this week.
Yeah. Oh, what other ones did you read?
Because we had Batman Universe.
I didn't read that one yet.
And then Batman and the Outsiders.
And I didn't read that one.
All came out.
Yet.
Yeah. I'm not loving Batman Universe, honestly. That's the one that's written by Bendis. But I did notice that he wrote. What else did Bendis write this week that I read? Oh, Event Leviathan. So I read Event Leviathan.
Did you read that?
And I
did
read,
you like that?
Yes. I'll get back to that in a second. But in both books, Event Leviathan and Batman Universe, Bendis refers to Wayne Manor as Stately Wayne Manor. And I haven't heard it called
said
that
it
since
both?
In both books.
Oh, okay.
So when I saw it in one book, I thought it was just a fluke.
Right.
But when it's in two books,
that's
like,
funny.
It's deliberate.
Yeah.
So I haven't heard it called that since like Batman 66 when they used to say Stately Wayne Manor. And
Maybe.
I don't think anybody refers to anything these days as stately anything. So the fact that he does that, I think, is a riot.
Well, that's how I refer to my house.
Well, yeah. Stately Briggs Manor. So
Stately Ranch.
Yeah. But to get back to Event Leviathan, like, I don't understand that book at all. I'm really getting kind of lost in that story. I didn't really love it either. I didn't think it was that great.
I like it. I don't love it. I think it's a more entertaining, like, powers. It's a very, very, but you know what I mean? It's a lot of information, but you know what I like about it? Is that, you know, what we've been asking for out of a Batman book is a good mystery.
Yes.
And this has that.
It does.
And that's what I like. So I'm taking all the information, and yes, I don't understand it, but I'm hoping that things will, there'll be clues in these books that we don't see yet. But then later on, you know, somebody like one of these detectives that are in here will pull everything together for us. How many books is this supposed to be?
Six.
Is it six? So we have two more?
Yeah. I just love that Lois, you know, steals one of Bruce's cars.
Oh.
And then they're talking about it.
That was a riot.
And Clark says, well, I'll pay for it. And Bruce is like, no, you can't. He's like, well, I've got money. He says, it's an Aston Martin. It's $3.2 million. You know? He's like.
And then that's where it ends.
You're going to write a lot of articles.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it ends.
I thought that was
like,
funny.
That was funny. Yeah.
The last panel, so I thought it was funny. So this last panel, I thought a little bit like you here. I found the believability to be kind of silly. I won't say the characters or anything like that.
Yeah.
So Lois pulls up in an alley. Why is this character sitting down in an alley? I just thought it was funny that there's, what is it, five characters. They're sitting there. She pulls up and, like, one of the characters is sitting on a box. Like, they've just been, these five people have been hanging out, sitting on boxes
just hanging
in
an
alley?
Waiting for Lois, yeah, waiting for Lois to show up.
Knowing that Lois is going to pull up in an Aston Martin.
Yeah.
In a dark alley. It's a great pose. It's a great way to feature those characters at the end of the but they're
well,
in a dark alley.
Either like other than the one, I don't know who any of those characters are.
I was hoping you did. No,
no,
I know.
I,
but, yeah,
I don't. Yeah.
I thought I knew a few of them. We'll talk after. I'll ask you after.
Okay.
But yeah. So.
But yeah, like that book has kind of gone a little bit off the rails for me. I don't really know.
Well, I think that's what happens when you get a mystery. It is a legit mystery. We don't know what's going on. So, and that's what I'm enjoying that. I legitimately am enjoying it. I look forward to each book to see what else, you know, because they usually end them like that too, where you, okay. Like in the early one where you thought, you know, Red Hood was Leviathan.
Which I don't think is true anymore. Like,
no,
I know
they've pointed it out.
They're sort of leading us down to, but.
Yeah,
I don't think that. That's too obvious.
It's almost like you're been led to a path that Leviathan might not be bad either. You know, so
it's all in your perspective.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. Anything else of note? Because
no, like I said, I mean, I read a bunch of other books, but we're getting late, so we need to move on.
All right. Is that enough then?
Yeah, I think so.
All righty. All right. If you don't like us, you can tweet at us on Twitter. Yeah. If you've listened this long and you don't like us, well, then it's pretty much the kind of people that don't like us.
Right.
Tweet at us at thebrightside_chat. Email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. And we are on the Nerdy Legion.
Yes.
That was one take, no editing.
One take. One take wonders.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, proud members of the Nerdy Legion. I gotta say that clearly.
Yes.
So, yeah, go to nerdylegion.com. You can see all the different podcasts there. They're adding more. Every week we added, Indie Alley just got added, which is really good. All indie books, and then they go into indie wrestling. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know if you're into. I'm not really into wrestling, but I've been listening.
I'm not either.
Yeah. And it was kind of cool. A lot of information. But the indie books was good for us.
Yes.
I know Dr. Joe's into both of those things. Yeah, and then the Nerdy Legion podcast, of course. Bat Pod's coming back this week. I think this week. And comics news. Those are pretty much everything I listened to today, as a matter of fact. But, yeah.
Cool.
So, network is growing. We are not the new guys on the block anymore.
That's right. We're veterans already.
Yeah, we're veterans. Look at us go. You know, we can't even get this stuff to run right.
I know.
All right, let's close up the store. It's getting late. Our crap's falling apart.
Yeah.
All right. We will see you on Monday, hopefully, if everything holds together and we can keep this ship together. We will record another one for Monday. We'll be doing Batman Begins. Can't wait for that. So, all right. See you on Monday. Have a good weekend.
Take care.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles,
in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.